This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, Joey Burgoyne, and the next voice you're going to hear is a friend. You haven't heard her in a while. There's no traffic to go along. Hint, hint, you know. But it's Jerry Griswold, the voice, the overpowering presence of White Memorial Conservation Center. Jerry, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, my God, Joe, I'm always so grateful when you call. First of all, A, I love you, and I love WTIC. But, you know, it's just always great talking about White Memorial. And you and I are such kindred spirits when it comes to nature and winter.
And yes, and that's what sparked. I was sitting there yesterday or this morning. I'm like, you know, it's nice. We have a winter. I'm like, us people that love, oh, Jerry loves winter. What's going on up at White Memorial? And I'm looking at the calendar and I'm like, there's so many things.
It really is. You know, regardless of whether we have winter weather or not, White Memorial is always geared up for winter in January, February, and March. And so you can see from our calendar on our website, Joe, whitememorialcc.org, we are loaded with winter programming. And, you know, and it begins with programs that happened just the other day, tiny trekking, bringing little kids out, really young kids out for their first experiences in nature with their parents, obviously. And those are experiential things. Little kids could be out for maybe a half an hour before they start getting fussy. But, you know, our objective is to get families outdoors. We have for indoor, if you're not a devotee of the outdoors as Joe is and I am, we have a whole series of art programs this coming January, February, and March with Colleen Herrick, our environmental educator. She happens to be a crackerjack artist, and you're going to be doing live drawings with paintings, drawings. We supply all the materials. It's called Artistry with Animals, and there is a segment on turtles, one on snakes, and one on birds of prey, where you'll actually be using real animals as well as taxidermy specimens to learn how to create beautiful pictures. This is for all levels, beginners all the way up to, you know, anybody. If you're a professional, you want to do it, you can come to that. But really, Joey and I are focusing on the outdoor stuff. Like on the 10th, we've got, we call it a sweet hike, where, you know, back in the early 1900s in New York City, they would sell sweet potatoes or regular potatoes wrapped up in foil and or paper, probably not foil back then, and people would put them in their pockets and keep their hands warm. And I love old traditions, so I will take you out on a beautiful winter hike, and it ends up at one of our campgrounds where you'll be fed gorgeous, my mouth is watering, I haven't eaten all day, roasted sweet potatoes and mulled cider to wash it down. So that's on January 10th. We collaborate with the Connecticut DEEP, their ice fishing folks, and for a workshop that is for families about ice fishing safety. So you take a class during the morning, and then you take a little break for lunch, and then these amazing volunteers from the Connecticut Deeps Care Program will take you out on the ice, and you can actually practice all of the cool things that you've just learned. It's mainly about safety, because when I see ice fishermen out, that means to me they are so serious about safety in winter. I know that that ice is perfect for them, because there are standards of how many people can be standing on how many inches of ice and still be safe.
Yeah, you gotta be safe out there, people. No cold plunges.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a live groundhog program that's going to be coming up on January 31st. We're partnering with the Children's Museum of West Hartford, and they're bringing out their groundhog. I'll talk a little bit about rodents. And then on the 7th of February, we're doing our Cut It Out history of ice harvesting here in Connecticut. Well, I don't know if you're aware, Joe, that our property at White Memorial is the home to the ruins of an old ice house, the Berkshire Ice House. And that bit of history is so important, not just to our property, but to Connecticut. And we have a huge amount of old ice cutting tools.
Yeah, because there was no refrigerators back in the day. Like, if you went hunting or gathering, you know, like, there was no grocery stores. You had to, how are you storing this over the summer? Ice houses were integral in, developing civilizations.
They really were. And for every single farm, my farm up in Winchester included, my father told me that he was in charge of the ice house, and he hated that job in the winter, but in the summer he loved it. So these people would harvest this ice in the winter, and the Berkshire ice house was the size of 2 football fields and 30 feet tall, and it was packed with ice that was shipped off to cities, because where did these folks get their ice? And so, but for every small farm, every farmer had his own ice house. And it's just a really great part of history, about the history of refrigeration. We used to call them ice boxes.
Yeah.
Before they were called refrigerators, they were an ice box for that reason. That store that I think it's Tennessee Williams, the Iceman cometh. You would put there would be an iceman that would come to your door. You'd leave a little sign out about how many pounds of ice you wanted him to deliver, and he would leave that in the box for your ice box. So that's coming up on February 7th. It's such a cool program. What else do I have for you? I've got music. I've got a Valentine's Day coffee house.
Ooh.
We have an animal tracking program. Now, I don't care whether there's snow or not. You can still see the signs of animals if you're made aware of.
You got to know where to look like that. You got to be observant.
You got to know where to look.
People. Yes,
exactly. And I've got this wonderful naturalist, Shirley Sutton, coming out. Shirley's going to be doing the program on animal tracking. Oh my goodness, this is so cool. We're partnering with the Institute for American Indian Studies. This is on February 28th. You have to go to the Institute in Washington, Connecticut, and we're doing a dual program on snakes, but also on snow snakes, which is a popular game that Native people used to play.
I'm intrigued.
You should look that up. It's so cool what they do, and they use all of the old tools, and they do that, and then there will be a meet and greet with some of our live snakes. But on the same day here at White Memorial at 2 p.m., I have Brian Kleinman from Riverside Reptiles coming out to do
I've talked to him in the past. That's such an awesome thing they do.
He is a phenom, Joe. There isn't anybody, I swear, in the United States as knowledgeable about Brian. And in Connecticut, to have this incredible museum/zoo dedicated to reptiles, Brian's a phenom, and he's coming out here with venomous snakes. So first time he's ever done a venomous snake program. That's on February 28th. And then there's happy hour hiking. There's Point Folly hiking. I lead lots of hikes throughout the year, sometimes on weekdays, sometimes on Saturdays. And then star parties begin again on February 20th. So our local astronomers do these free astronomy programs because we have such a wonderful area here that has less light pollution than anybody. So if you're interested in stargazing, come out to our star parties. And of course, again, Joe, you can see all of this stuff on our website, whitememorialcc.org. We're going to wrap up the winter calendar on March 28th with Mary Beth Kaiser, one of my favorite people. She's out in Ashford at Horizon Wings Raptor Rehabilitation and Education Center. And I'm crazy about ravens, and Mary Beth is coming out here. She and I partnered doing this cool program called Raven Bird Myth and Legend, where I do the history and the art of the raven, and Mary Beth brings the actual bird, and she brings her crow, Corbin, and she's bringing a blue jay as well. So all of these are Ooh. Corvids. They're all related, and you'll get to actually see the difference between a raven and a crow.
And they are
a lot of
smart.
I swear to God, if they had an opposable thumb, they could drive a car.
Yeah, they could rule some small countries.
They are. And when I do my spiel on them, you will realize how prevalent they are and how amazing they are throughout world culture. Mm. I don't care whether you're in Asia or whether you're in Alaska or whether you're in Europe or in South America. These birds are everywhere, and they have left a major imprint on culture and history around the world. So you're going to learn about that on March 28th.
Birthday
I don't know.
weekend. So if someone's looking for something on my birthday weekend, you can do that. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, there's one other one cool, another one that's really cool. On January 24th, Tom Elena will be here. He's a dear friend. He is a physicist. He's a geologist, a meteorologist, and an everythingist, and astronomer, too. Astronomy, he does. But he's going to be giving a talk about Snowflake Bentley. Do you know who that is?
No, but anything with snowflakes, I'm down with.
Oh, my God. He's going to teach you how to photograph snowflakes using Wilson Bentley. He was a farmer from Vermont who, in the early 1900s, invented a way to photograph snowflakes. And so much science. It's not just about beauty. It's about the science and the physics behind how snowflakes are created. It is the coolest program.
That's neat.
Great for adults and kids. And with our smartphones today and with the macro lenses we have, you can be photographing snowflakes just like Wilson Bentley did over 100 years ago.
And I mean, the old adage is every snowflake is different, so you have plenty of specimens to practice on.
They are, and you'll learn why they're different and what shapes, because there are snowflakes that are different shapes. They're similar. They're all different, but they're similar shapes. And those shapes will tell you a story about what was happening with the climate.
So if you put this guy and Bob Cox in a room together, just close the door, they're there for a while.
Oh, I bet 2-1 Bob Cox. I bet Bob knows about Snowflake Bentley. You got to ask him.
I will have to ask Bob now.
But yeah, so, you know, I just spieled off about a zillion programs that are wonderful for adults and children, and there's even more. You just need to go on our website, whitememorialcc.org. And if you're not into the programs, you're not a social butterfly, hey, I get it. We also have a magnificent nature museum here, Joe. You've been here. Mm-hmm. You know how incredible it is.
How's the beehive?
The beehive is in mothballs right now. We need a new one,
okay.
And all of our bees swarmed several times last summer, so we're getting a new observation hive and new bees coming up in the spring.
Ooh.
But right now, the bee tree is one of the most popular things in the museum. And with colony collapse disorder, we've had some problems with our bees in the past, but right now we just need a whole overhaul on the bee tree, and that's what we're going to get.
The beehive remodel.
Spring. Yes. we need the state of the art for our honeybees.
That's it. You know, they need the plush couches, and we got to make sure they have Netflix and Hulu streaming, and of course, National Geographic.
Jacuzzi. tons of honey stored, only the finest for them.
That's it, you know.
Yeah.
I know you have to go, but I'd feel remiss if I didn't ask this question, because you are what we all like to refer to as the leading source. How are the bats doing in the winter?
Yeah, how are they doing in the winter? We don't know. They're not here. They're out hibernating. And you know that there are only three true hibernating mammals in our state. Our bears don't hibernate. Our skunks don't hibernate. Our opossums don't hibernate. They all go into a deeper sleep called torpor. But the bat, the woodchuck, and there's a species of mouse that are the only three true hibernators. So all of our bats are gone for the year. They'll be back in early April, late March, and that's when we immediately begin counting them. And, of course, you can go on our Bats Count tab on our website, whitememorialcc.org, and find out how you can become a citizen scientist by counting our bats with us. From the safety and the happiness of your own home, in your pajamas, drinking your wine with a clicker in your hands.
Hmm.
And you can count bats, submit data, and help our Connecticut DEEP biologist and our research director, James Fisher, learn more about this big brown bat colony on the property. We also have a little brown bat colony.
Aww.
And that's only one of two known in the state.
Wow.
These are animals that were gravely affected by white nose syndrome.
Huh.
So the little brown bat colony appears to be thriving. It went from about 90 individuals in 2017 when we first discovered the colony on our property. How convenient.
Yeah.
So they can be studied. Crazy, isn't it? So it was 90 animals, and now we're up to about 300.
That is awesome.
So here's a species that was really common when I first started handling bats back in the early 90s, and now they are an endangered species. So to see this colony growing and thriving gives me hope that here is one of the species affected by the fungus that's going to make it.
I hope so.
We hope so, too. Yeah, bats are the best, and they always will be the closest and nearest, dearest to my heart, and they are the reason why I'm at White Memorial. I was working with bats long before White Memorial ever came about. When I was a broadcaster, I would be bringing my bats to work with me and going off and doing school programs and all sorts of stuff. And they, you know, I always used to say, and I still would if I were still a traffic reporter, I still get a rush out of rush hour.
Yep.
I still get a rush out of bats. I mean, they always excite me.
Well, we're children at heart, Jerry, and that's why I love you, lady.
Yes. Thank you. Love you too, Joe.
So if anyone's looking for something to do, the best place to go, and what's the website again, Jer?
WhiteMemorialCC.org.
Well, check out that website. All the things Jerry talked about are there and more. There's so many things coming up. The weather is fine, people. Just dress accordingly. It's New England.
What do we say, Joe?
There's no such thing as
bad weather.
It's bad preparedness.
Only bad clothing and bad preparedness. Yep, so get out there and enjoy this beautiful season.
It's New England winter. I've never seen a Hallmark movie in the Christmas season with no snow. Like, there's a reason why they're all here. This is what we're here for, people. So get outside, enjoy the outdoors.
Cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, bring them out. Come on out. Enjoy us. We've got lots of snow up here right now.
And plenty of trails.
Mm-hmm. 40 miles.
Excellent. Well, Jerry, thank you very much, because it's places like White Memorial going on right here at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080.